the study, and as I got into it, even today back there, it looks like it could go longer than 6 weeks because of what we viewed today, and then giving the people the opportunity. I want them to chew it on a little bit, and I gave them a handout to look at, and then we'll come back next week and kind of discuss some of the things about it. But I, too, believe it'll be a wonderful study for this year, and it's going to get us started off. Amen. So last couple of weeks, we've been looking through Joshua, right? And this is part of, and it does come out of that story of the glory days, and it's all because of what we need to look at as where we are at in our Christian walk, and to look at what God has done for us already, and whether or not we're going to walk it out in a way of victoriously, or if we're going to walk it out in a way of ho-hum and humdrum, and yeah, sometimes he's blessing me, and other times I'm down, and this he's working on, but this is a problem. And our hope and prayer is that through even this study and even looking at Joshua, there's so many wonderful stories throughout the Bible. There's so many wonderful things in his, especially the Old Testament and the New, but to see God's hand move mightily within the people. And we need to look at these things and try to say, well, what's it like for today? Do any of us feel like Joshua? Do any of us are going through our lives today thinking about the times of the bondages that the Israelites were in for 400 years? 400 years in bondage. They come into the times of the Promised Land, and there they were at the times of the wilderness for 40 days. And then we come to find out that, you know, or not 40 days, I'm sorry, 40 years. Four decades, and then Babylonian bondage at the end of that. So they go from bondage into the wilderness and then into their promised land, and then because of some things in their lives and things that they allowed sin to get in and not follow God totally, he gave them over to the Babylonians, and then that's where we can get into Daniel and all that and how that happened and some of the things with that, but it continues to go on. But we want to look at and focus as far as Joshua, because the book of Joshua was very powerful, very insightful for us today. We find that, you know, we found that the children of Israel, God did wonderful things, right? Brought open through the, opened up the Red Sea, separated the River Jordan for them to cross over. Now we've gotten to the point where last week we talked about where they were camped out on the other side of the Jordan, getting ready to continue on, but they had to wait. And they waited there for a while. And then we began to find out that once they crossed over the Jordan, it says that that's when they had their first meal, their first kind of like Passover after crossing over to remember those things, that God then no longer needed to provide them manna because he had brought them into the land of flowing with milk and honey. We found out that in Canaan it was a wonderful, rich, lush place, and they could live off of the land, and that's what they did. They began to see those things, and God said, now it's time for you. I've provided these things to you, but you're going to have to work for them. You're going to have to help yourself and partake of these blessings. How many here know that God has given us blessings already, but we don't receive them, and we don't go out and take them? In many parts of our lives, God has already done the thing that he's going to do for you, but now he says, Tim, you've got to go receive it. Tim, you've got to make that effort to go forward to it and receive it because I've got it there for you. A lot of times, Tim might sit back and say, well, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and wait for you to bring it back to me like you did with manna in the wilderness where you just kept pouring it on and just providing for me. Well, there's a time in our life with him as we mature and grow in what he expects out of us as we become mature and perfecting of our faith is that he begins to say, Tim, I've got this for you. It's there. Now go get it. And I've got to decide whether I'm going to go get it, don't I? I've got to decide, well, is my God really for me? Is my God really helping me? Or is he just trying to send me on a wild goose chase to where I'm going to go there for a while and get discouraged? And then it's like, oh, well. Well, a lot of that begins to happen, and we find that the devil will do a lot of that thought process in you if you're heading that way and you're saying, well, God said to go this way, and then all of a sudden you come up some obstructions, you come with some ups and downs. Pretty soon the devil's there telling you, well, are you sure you really heard from God? Anybody been there where you've had some voice in you saying, did you really hear from God? We've all been there. I'm sure the people of Israel, Joshua, Moses, they've all been to that point. But they, Joshua and Moses, especially in the leaders that God chose, they were so close to God, and God showed them so many things that they totally relied and trusted upon who? God. God said it. It's going to happen. I'm not worried about it. So when God has given you an assignment, when God has asked you or said, this is what I would like for you to do, do you not think he's already prepared the way? Oh, yeah. Along that way, there's going to be a ditch here and there. There's going to be some adversity. You're going to have to go through the briar patch or something. I don't know. There's going to be some hindrances there. But how many know that it's only when there's a hindrance that you really begin to see the hand of God? If everything was just clear sailing, we would eventually, because I know who we are and he knows who we are, if we would just eventually just go through life with no problems, we would soon forget him. Because even in our lives today, as we go through and have 6 months of blessed assurance of things, of, oh, it's been wonderful, we have a tendency possibly to be forgetting more of the things of God. And all of a sudden, God's going, hey, who do you think is making this way easy for you? Sometimes we get to that point thinking like, I am, I think. Well, no. Well, you are God, but it's going so good, I really kind of put you in the back, and I thought, well, hey. You know, it's the old thing about, you know, you see the signs that say, God is my co-pilot, and somebody came out with a sign that says, well, if God is your co-pilot, change seats. God ain't going to be your co-pilot through life. If he is, that means he's there at your when you need help. And you're going to just do what you want, and then when something happens, you're going to say, okay, God, it's yours. Take us through it now. Takes us through it, and then he says, okay, God, I'm taking it back. Relax. God doesn't want to relax on your part. God wants to be there for you. God wants to say, I'm here. It says in his word, Psalms, I think it is where, he never slumbers. God never sleeps. That ought to encourage you today. No matter what I go through, no matter how long I'm going through it, I don't have to worry about, hello, God. Oh, God, are you awake? Oh, God, do you know what I'm going through? Oh, God, you don't know what I'm going through. Let me tell you what I'm going through. God already knows. He knows the beginning to the end and everything in between. He knows everyone in here. He knows your life, what you're going through right now. He knows what you're going to deal with tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do next Friday. He knows it all. So I don't really need to tell him about my problems. I just need to maybe go to him and say, Lord, I know you know that I know that I have problems, but Lord, I don't have these problems because I've turned them over to you. And I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to believe by faith, even though I don't see it, because faith is the thing seeing of the unseen, but I don't see it happening right now, Lord, in the physical, but I know that by that of my faith and by who I know you are in my life, and I'm trying to mirror the things that Christ did as a disciple, a follower of Jesus, I want to do what he did. I've missed the mark a lot of times. I'm not going to be perfect like Jesus. How about you? But through God's grace and mercy, I can repent and say, Lord, help me, put me back on this path. Let me see where I'm going. Let me see what I failed in. But Lord, I know that you're a God that will forgive me if I come to you with a forgiveness in my heart. If my heart says, Lord, I'm sorry, be repenting. Father. And when we do that and he forgives us, we know that we've been forgiven. And that's the area that the devil wants to hold you to. A lot of times, he wants to hold you into that bondage of sin, into that bondage of what you have been doing. And he, even though you've turned it over to God, the devil wants to say to you, well, are you sure he really forgave you? Are you sure that's really possible? Well, God is not a liar. His word says that he's forgiven me. It says Jesus is that new covenant. It says that Jesus, he came and he helped us and reconciled us back to the Father. It says in his word that my blood, my sins have been cleansed, washed as white as snow. We got to know those things. We got to remember those things because the enemy is going to want to keep coming up, keep calling on you, and keep ringing your bell to try to get your attention. As long as he can ring your bell and get your attention and get your eyes off of God, get your eyes off of your promised land, get your eyes onto the obstacles, the devil's going to keep doing it. Once you take your eyes off of the things that God has for you and you focus upon the things and the situations and the things that are kind of mucking up with you, you focus on that then. We as a people normally focus on just certain things, right? And generally you're going to only focus on the thing that's most pressing. Whatever is before you, this is what I'm concerned about. I got to focus on this here. The enemy likes to put a lot of these little blocks here and there, but I've got to realize that, okay, I'm coming up on this block here, but I'm going to go through it. I don't know how, but God's going to take care of it for me if I trust. Do you truly trust God? Do you truly believe in His Word? Do you really want to bring Him honor and glory? Because to bring Him honor and glory, it's going to be working in each one of your lives, because like Jesus said, I do nothing but what the Father tells me or shows me, and I do it to bring glory to Him. It's not glory to me, it's not glory to our church, it's not glory to this group, or whatever the case might be. Ultimately, and where it needs to be, is I want to honor and glorify my Father in heaven. And if I can do that by going through some problems, and I know that He's with me, well, Lord, it's going to be You and me. And a lot more of You than me. Because You're big. You're my God. You're my Daddy in heaven. You're my Father. What father upon this earth will not take care of their child and help them through a problem? My Father in heaven is like that, but multiply it exponentially out 10,000 times. My God, my Father loves me. He loves you too. He loves us all. Well, let's get into the message of the day. So as we find these things in the book of Joshua, we've come now to the taking of the wall, or the well-fortified city that is protected by a very large wall. This wall, and we'll get into some of these things here, we'll find out, it was really put together well. Let's see if this thing works. We'll just kind of... The Jericho Challenge! What is the Jericho Challenge in your life? Amen. It says on. And I'm clicking. Now we look at Jericho. And this is kind of a rendition. This is kind of a look at the ancient Jericho. And you can kind of see it's a well-fortified city, right? And we've read about it. You can read a lot of things historical about it and the number of the walls and how they were designed. But it was a big city placed up on top of this hill, and it was just really insurmountable. Could you imagine you're standing out in the distance here, and the Lord is saying, Joshua, you guys are going to go take that city. You're looking at it going, oh, really? But remember when we said that when they crossed over, that the kings and those in those areas, the Canaanites, they were already murmuring, they were already getting quiet because they had already heard what God had done for the children of Israel. And they're thinking, oh my gosh, now they've crossed the Jordan, now they're in our land, what are they going to do? The report of God goes before where He goes. The news travels fast, amen, when things start happening. That was back before texting. That was back before instant messaging. That was back before cell phones. But somehow, some way, the word of the Lord started going across the land, and the kings and the Canaanites and all those that were there, they began to realize, and they began to, I think last week we talked about they trembled, they kind of got, they paralyzed. They, you know, when you're fearful of something, what happens? You freeze. Kind of like what was happening, it says. So anyway, this is the Jericho. This is next thing that God says, I'm going to show you that I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to do it in a way that you're not going to quite understand. Because I'm going to tell you just to kind of be quiet and walk around that building or that walls, you know, seven times. And here's the kicker. Could you imagine all the people? Remember the people that crossed over were like over 2 million people. And so now we're going to go across and we're going to walk this around the circle, this city, and we're going to have some of the people out in front with the trumpets, and then we're going to have the Ark of the Covenant, and the other ones are falling behind. But here's what you guys got to do. You got to not talk. You can't talk. Could you imagine having to have that many people try to figure out, now, okay, we're going to walk around this and no talking, no murmuring. That's another story in itself, because how many times are people going to go, what in the world are we doing this for? What is taking place? So anyway, that's the Jericho that we're looking at. Whoops. here are some thoughts, and this is how some of it was. It had different sides and different things that were there, but we find out that it was really, and what it talks about in the Word here, what's it say? Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. You'll find other areas where it says it's a well-fortified city. Well, it's shut up because now they're fearful because these people are on our side of the river, and I think they might be coming our way. Close the doors. Bar the doors. Close them up. And they're going, well, you know what? With all this structure that we got, and then there's embankment in some areas, and then we got another wall, we're pretty well impenetrable. How are they going to get to us? But God. So you find out, it's kind of, look here, 6 feet, footings here. It's about 23 feet from the ground up to that wall. And then in between these two walls, in some parts of around the city, they put the land at an angle. And it's all to be able to, it makes it pretty hard to put a ladder there and have another tall wall, and the ground is like this, and you've got a ladder. It's designed to be well fortified in some city that you're just not going to go willy-nilly in there and take it over, right? So you got this right here, and it varies as far as the earthen embankment that they did. Now they got a 12-foot foundation. Now they got another wall that goes from that foundation up, and it's about 30 feet. So, wow, that's like crossing another Jordan. It's like crossing another Red Sea. Now, God's going to do something even better than that, right? Oh, my goodness. Okay, 6:2, and it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, and this you shall do for 6 days. And then he goes on giving some descriptions here. And then the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But on that seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. We find that there's a time that the other trumpet, there's going to be the last trumpet that we hear is going to be something better than this. Revelations talks about, hey, when you hear that trumpet sound, look high. Because here he comes. So anyway, we're finding that the trumpets, and they're playing, and that was a part of, and it also, you know, we shared this a little bit before, but, you know, especially back in the Calvary days, the trumpets were used to send signals as far as what kind of formation that you should be doing, whether you're going to charge or they're going to say, call them back. There's another one that they have that they play the trumpet and it brings them back to refortify themselves. And then it says, okay, blow it, charge. So trumpets were used in militarily to really pronounce things and to get directions, right? So here we got the trumpets here. And it's just, could you imagine you'd have those trumpets? And I can only imagine, you got seven priests bearing seven trumpets, but could you imagine the volume of those seven trumpets when God puts his amplifier to it? But just, wow, deafening, I bet. But they're saying, blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass when they make that loud blast with that ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout. There's something about shouting, amen. Shout that great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. This is God telling Joshua, this is what you're going to do. So as the people of Israel, the very ones that crossed over the River Jordan, with the help of God, they will now take the city that's before them, Jericho, again seeing God's hand in this victory. I like seeing God's hand in victory, don't you? You know what? We see God's hand's victory. And that's why it's so important for when you have a victory in your life and we say, hey, somebody stand up and give a testimony to the things of God in your life. That's the Jericho shout sometimes. That's that trumpet sound. That's where you're saying, hey, I've got this going on, but God showed up and did this. And then we're going to hear that and it's going to say, wow, hallelujah, praise God. And when we hear that testimony, it's going to be like the shout. We're going to say, hallelujah, thank you, God. for answering and for being there for that person or for that situation, Lord. What a wonderful God. Woo! Hallelujah. As we have been reviewing the advancement of the people of Israel, we have witnessed God moving on their behalf of every obstacle. Every obstacle that they had, God showed up. Do you have an obstacle in your life today? If you do, God will show up if you let Him. Matter of fact, God may already be there waiting for you to just turn it over to Him and say, it's all in your hands, God. I've dealt with it long enough. It's your baby. And then we've got to learn not to take it back. God was going to do this to show or to prove His authority or His ability or His strength. Whatever it is, God is going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Amen? God, if it won't be you that He'll use with it, He'll find somebody else that He's going to show His power, His provision, His abilities through somebody else's situation. I want it to be mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. His authority on how He is on your side, how He has called you to accomplish something in your life today in 2016, that He's going to be faithful to help you accomplish that. And this is all coming about because we're in a new year, 2016, that I believe this is a year that we're going to walk and we're going to follow and we're going to be in our Canaan. We're going to be there in that promise of our victory of these things. Now, as Max Lucado says, Canaan today, we're not taking over real estate. We're not taking over territory. What this is, it's a lot to do with your heart and your mind. It's in the spiritual realm, the things, the battles. And it says in God's word that we are not battling what? Flesh and blood. We're battling powers and principalities, things in the spiritual realm that are alive and effective to the things of us today. Some of the people out there outside the realm of Christian or understanding the things of God, they don't quite understand those things, and they think you're kind of a fruit loop at times when you talk about the spiritual battles that take place. But if you believe God's word and what God's word says, what does His word say? Our battle is with what? Powers and principalities and things that we don't see. We will not see them with your physical eyes, but for those that are born again, for those that are filled with the Spirit of God, for those that have the Holy Spirit residing in them, the Lord will speak to you by that of the Spirit many times, many ways, and He will either show you, He will tell you, He will warn you, He will give you directions, He will do whatever is necessary to have you win over your obstacle, what you're up against. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to provide a way for you. So, the Jericho back in Joshua's day, my goodness, what is our Jericho of today? How many here is going to a battle of a wall that, or a city that's impenetrable with a wall? Not too many of us. But our Jericho, the things that we have gone into today, could be the areas of, anybody here have fear or had fear? Are you walking in fear? Could be fear. It could be anger. Could be bitterness. Could be insecurity about your future. So many people don't know about the future. And they're all running around trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What's going to be like? What's going to happen? What? And it's just like, hey, take a breath, step back, and know that God is there for you. I don't know what my future holds, but I know that He does. It says that He had known me before I was formed in my mother's womb. It says Jeremiah, and I love it, and you know, you guys know one of my most favorite verses where, you know, that He has plans to give me a future and a hope, not to have problems, not to be defeated, as long as I come to Him and I pray to Him and I listen to Him. That's for all of us. Amen. I'll let you use that scripture that I get so much out of. Amen. You can have it too, Willie. Okay, man. It's for you too. But that's what it's all about. But it could be your anger, it could be bitterness, insecurity about your future. This is the things that you're dealing with today. It could be guilt from the past. A lot of the things in the past likes to hold us back in the past. Remember the last week I shared about, you know, something along the line of, you got to look forward. The people of Israel, when they were traveling through these lands, it did no good to look back where they came from. It looked good to where they just had to keep focusing on the front. Now, I did say that it shows in Joshua 4 and 5 and 4 thereabouts are where we're talking about where you build a memorial to what God has done. It's good to build a memorial of what God has done in your life so that I can look back and say, I remember back then and this happened and God was there. Well, now I'm here. But guess what? God is here too. And so with our memorials that we build within us, it's not to rest on those and say, okay, it's all done and well, but it's for, just like he said, build a stone of a pillar of stones in the Jordan where the dry feet were at, or where the dry land, and then build a pillar of stones where you camped on the west side. But we have a lot to do with our past, and our past has a way of hindering our future. Basically, our Jericho of today is any attitude or mindset that keeps us from joy, peace, or rest. Anything that keeps you from joy, peace, or rest. Anything that keeps you from joy, peace, or rest. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Merry heart doeth good like medicine. Joy of the Lord is my strength. A lot of people, even in our churches, they don't have that joy. They don't have that peace. How many people do you know in churches that we've attended or gone to or where we have been that not everybody there is at rest with the things of their God? They're in turmoil. They're going to and fro. They're worried. They don't understand what's taking place. It talks in his word not to have a thought about tomorrow because, you know, it's got its own times and things that are going to happen. We just need to be focused where? Today. Today is the day. Can I change things tomorrow? Well, some of the things that I do today could change my tomorrows. Amen. But as far as how things are going and all, it's good to be focused on today and prepare for your tomorrows. But focus on today, I suppose, you know, and just where you're at and where God is at with you. And I'm going to tell you, if you've got something coming up on your path and the Lord is there for sure with you, he will give you advance notice within your spirit. Or it might be a thing where it just happens, and then that's going to be the thing on how quick are you going to turn it over to him. How quick are you going to surrender it and keep in peace and keep in joy and keep in that solitude of knowing that, oh, he's my Father in heaven and he's taking care of me. You know what? I may fall and skin my knees, but my Father in heaven is going to be there to pick me up. And when he dusts me off, I'm going to say, thank you, Father. And when he takes care of that thing that caused me to trip and skin my knees, I'm going to say, hallelujah, thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord, for who you are. We find in Joshua 1:11, if we would go back to that, where it says, go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. The word here, possess, is a meaning to occupy. Go in and occupy. When you occupy something, can two things occupy the same space? You know, put two cars in the same one stall out there. Can both cars occupy that same space? No. Can two people sit in this one chair? Yes, but it could be uncomfortable. Yeah, if you're skinny. Yeah. Go in and possess the land your God has given to you to possess. Go in today. Go in this year. The Lord has granted you this year of 2016. I encourage you to go in and possess what God has given you to possess. And when you possess, if I'm following what possess here means, it's to occupy, it's to drive out the previous tenants and possess in their place. I'm going to take back what the devil stole from me. Hallelujah. I'm going to go and do what I need to do, but I'm going to claim it, I'm going to reclaim it, and you know, if it's not for me, God will bring it, and it'll bring something even better. Devil, if you want that, you can have it, because my God's got something better for me. And I'm going to receive it, I'm going to claim it, and I'm just going to wait for him, or I'm going to go, if he tells me to go, I'm going to go. But whatever it is, I'm going to listen to him. Just like Joshua listened to him going over the Jordan. Just like Joshua listened to him on how you're going to take over that city. Oh, I don't think we can do that. Look at these walls. Oh my gosh, how are we going to do that? He took it without any artillery. He took it without anything to breach a wall. But in Joshua 1:11, go and possess that land. Go, possess. I'm encouraging you to possess 2016 is to go in and occupy 2016 with whoever is already there. Whatever the devil's already done or holding back from you, kick him out and claim it. Kick him out and claim it. Possess that thing. Joshua 1:6, be strong and of a good courage. That's what it's all about. You've got to be strong and of good courage. God tells Joshua in 6:2 that he's given into Joshua's hand kings and the mighty men of valor. We find in God's word that the enemy, the devil, our enemy that we're fighting today in that spiritual realm, the enemy, Satan, the devil, talks about it in his word. Remember, we talked and tell people that you're either serving God or you're serving the God of this world. And for those out there that say, oh, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the devil, and I don't believe in that. Well, congratulations, the devil has really blinded your eyes, and he's hardened your heart, seared your mind, and he's got you right where he wants you. You're just dumb going along the path. But for us to have an understanding by reading God's word and believing what God's word says, that you are, sir, choose this day to do what? Choose this day who you will serve. God's word tells you, you're going to either serve him or you're going to serve the devil. There is no one out there serving just themselves. Because really, when you're self-serving and serving yourself, you truly are serving the devil, because then you're inward and you're thinking about yourself and you can care less about those out there. And the devil likes that too. He says, that's right, Tim. You've had a hard time. You just baby yourself. Oh, it's been terrible on you. Oh, you deserve that. Oh, can you believe how they treat you? Oh, you deserve to just be down and gloomy. And Tim, if he hears that long enough, he go, that's right. Then they say, hey, Tim, how come you're not smiling? Oh, boy, if you'd have my life. Oh, boy. If this is all the better it gets. But I got to know there's another answer. And that's where we've got to come to that understanding. And we've got to bowl through it. We've got to go through it. We got to go, as they used to say on Star Trek, boldly go. And there's several that have already gone there, but boldly go where no man has gone. Well, you know what? I'm going to take that down. I'm going to boldly go where Tim has never gone before. I'm going to boldly go to what God has ready and prepared for me. Hallelujah. And he's got that for all of us. Okay, quarter till. That clock back there is just a blur to me. Oh, but there is no Packer game, and it's pretty cold outside, and it's pretty warm in here, so let's not be in a hurry to run outside. Possess that. Occupy that. So I believe, as in Joshua 6:2, where the Lord has, and I went through that, and I've encouraged you to go through Joshua and underline where it says God spoke, and then Joshua heard, or Joshua listened, or Joshua did. It's a phenomenal thing. God spoke, Joshua did. God spoke, Joshua said. God spoke. Woo! Here's something for you to know. That same God is the same God of today. And God is speaking into your life today. And when he speaks into your life, do you say, yes, God. Okay, God. I'll do it. I'll go. You can listen to people around you, though. They might say, well, that doesn't look like a very opportune thing to do, Tim. Are you sure? Is that what you're supposed to do? Could you imagine how many people, all those 2 million people or whatnot, telling Joshua, if Joshua says, okay, guys, we're going to cross this river Jordan. Remember we talked about that when that happened? It was back in the time when it was the harvest time. The river was the widest, the deepest, the fastest flowing. Now Joshua's saying to all these people, hey, I got a great idea, guys. We're going to cross this river. They're saying, well, yeah, what, 2 or 3 months from now? No, just in a few days. I'm sure there's a few people that went, this guy is kooky. What in the world are we doing? So when Joshua heard from God, and God spoke to Joshua, and Joshua took it to the people, he could not listen to their murmurings and listen to what they would say, because they would detract. If he spent too much time saying, hey, Rick, what do you think? This is what God told me to do, and this is what we're going to do. Do you think it's going to be a feasible thing to do? Rick might say, well, maybe or maybe not. You know, it depends on where he's at. It depends on where he's at and what God's doing with him. But God has put Joshua over these people. He was promoted there from after Moses died, right? And so God was just pouring in things to him, just like he was into Moses. And people believed, and they began to see those things happening. I mean, but here again, they saw so many miracles, but yet after a miracle had happened, a few days or a month went by, and then they started complaining again about, well, I guess God brought us out here to kill us again. You know, we just hear that story over and over throughout the adventure of the Israelites, from bondage to the wilderness, trying to get into their promised land. So we need to call up from memory what Christ has done for us and what we have because of him. It's nothing that I've got. It's nothing that we've got. It's nothing that this church has. It's already been done. What Christ has already done for us. So the question is not, will you overcome? It is, when will you overcome? Because of what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross and all the things that God has done with that and taken care of this and where the battle is at, you know, it's not, will I overcome? If I look at everyone here today, I could say, you are all overcomers. But I'm going to have to say, but when will you overcome? It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to put it to practice. It's another thing to use it. Amen? You can have all kinds of knowledge about different things, but if you don't use it, what's the purpose of it? My goodness. So it's not necessarily will you overcome, but when will you overcome? Do you believe that? Wow. Life brings challenges practically every day. Everybody, who here is living? Who's here is breathing? Well, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have some things happen. But God will always give us the strength to face them. Just as we read of the Jericho being a stronghold in Canaan, we have strongholds in our lives. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10. And this is where we're going to read all about those things. I don't know, where are we at on this thing up here? Oh, kind of think of that. As we go to there, could you imagine as they're out there going around that thing, here's some couple of guys inside the wall. Hey, I say let them blow their trumpets. Those Israelites have no idea how effective these walls are at blocking sound. It's okay, they're out there just going around. I don't even see a cannon. I don't know if they had a cannon. I don't even see a catapult. I don't even see anything that they got. Whoops. I hit that button. I don't know how they're going to do it. They're just out there playing a horn, carrying some kind of a box around here. There's people following, and they're not even saying nothing. Yeah, let's do that. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against... We do not war according to the flesh. This is talking about in chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians, spiritual warfare. And this is Paul speaking to these things. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against or war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal, they're not, as we would look at, they're not of flesh, but of they're mighty in God. Our weapons, the things that we have, it's not my weapons. It's not that I'm holding on to, per se, you know, but it's mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. The strongholds, like Jericho and the strongholds they had there, amen. Casting down what? Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. A stronghold is an argument or a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what's going on in a lot of people's minds today, even in our churches. We have a lot of things. We try to decipher out the Scripture so in depth and so deep that there are some things in Scripture that even a learned man is not going to understand. But it's going to be those that come to him with childlike faith that it's like, I don't understand it all. I can't explain this, that, or the other. I don't have all the understandings of the language and all that, but I read the Word, and I'm just coming to Him, and I just believe in Him, and I'm just taking it at face value, and I have faith. And some of the things that they argue about sometimes takes more faith of that than the faith to even believe that what God has got sometimes. But I'm not here to argue the things of God. God is a big God. He's already got it in his word. I'm just going to say, well, I guess that's where we part our thoughts of what God is saying, because I'm just going to follow it with faith, and just what I read, I'm just going to believe it. Pretty simple as that. Sometimes we start digging so deep that we end up, have you ever thought of, here's a thought. You know, you're thinking about buying something, and sometimes that's good, I guess. But you're thinking about buying something, going someplace, whatever. You just start thinking about it, and you say, well, I'm thinking about this, let's go. But then you start thinking about it, and before you go, you start thinking about it some more. And then you start thinking it and rethinking it and thinking it and thinking it, and before you know it, it's too late to go because the train's already left or the plane's already left or whatever the case might be or whatever happens. It's sometimes we can get ourselves into sometimes, and I'm not saying it's wrong to think and have wisdom on doing things, but I'm saying sometimes we in ourselves can get to the point to where we think so much that we second guess, and sometimes we cause a thing to where we miss something. Amen. Yeah, think about that. It's okay. I'm not saying just jump into everything willy-nilly, but I'm just saying there's times that we can talk ourselves out of it. A stronghold is an argument or a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, some different translations will speak of a stronghold. The King James will say imaginations. NIV will say pretensions. ESV will say a lofty opinion. Here's the message. It'll say warped philosophies. Warped philosophies. That's the things talking about here in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. These things that we need to cast down. Just remember, a stronghold is a false premise that denies God's promise. So many things that we come up against. It's thoughts, it's things, whatever the case might be. And a lot of it is that it denies God's promise. But as a child of God, I know and I need to remember his promises. Remember we had talked about, and I brought it up a couple of weeks back, about, you know, who we are in Christ. And you bring up these scriptures that are there for us. You know what? I got to bring it in here. I'm kind of running to the extreme of time, and there's still some more things I want to talk about. Next week we'll start out with some of the things that we look at as far as the language of impossibility. You know, what are those things that we talk about, and what is our language when we speak of the impossibilities in our lives or where I'm at? But as much as I'd like to continue on, I want to be respectful of your time. And it's right at 12, and we also want to partake of that of communion too. So, just so you know, that's what it looked like after they blew their trumpets and stuff. Something like that. You know, it's just an image there. So, and that's, I pray, will be what we receive or see in our lives, even in 2016. As we go against whatever it is that we've got to go against, but as God is there preparing the way and there for us, and that we realize that the battle is his. Amen.